theme music up. Cue Mr. Buckmaster. Thank you, Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, Tuesday, January 26, 2016. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. We have all sorts of top interviews this week. Tomorrow we have Dr. Andrew Weil from noon to 12:30. So just a note there, if you've got any health questions, call us tomorrow at noon. We're going to get things going today, though, with Michelle Reagan. Michelle is the Secretary of State for the state of Arizona. And then Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, giving me a big thumbs up today for the market. And then we have Dr. H.T. Sanchez, superintendent of the TUSD schools. He'll be coming along at 12:30. But now, on the live line, up to the Capitol, and Michelle Reagan, Madam Secretary of State, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You probably, our little news headlines there, we were talking about the House committee voting to make ballot harvesting a felony. Why are we moving in this direction when there have been no documented cases of fraud?
Well, you know, this is something that actually I was working on when I was in the Senate several years ago, and it's one of those things where it's not that there's all of this rampant fraud out there, but it creates the opportunity for fraud. And why do we even want to have a system where we have an opportunity for fraud? That we're talking about ballots. We're talking about live ballots. And there's all of this angst that people say, you know, the headline sounds so juicy, make it a felony for people to collect ballots. I like to remind people, we are the only state in the country where you're allowed to go around and collect other people's ballots. It is absolutely unheard of in other states. You know, when you go around and collect signatures to get on the ballot as a candidate, or if you're trying to get signatures to get an issue on the ballot, you have to sign the back of the petition as the person that's circulating the petition sheets. You have to prove who you are. And yet, we're actually going to allow the practice of going and picking up live voted ballots without even saying who we are? I mean, compare that. That is absolutely insane.
Well, how did we get to this point? We're the only state, you say, in the country that has this?
Absolutely. It's a loophole in the law that, the origins of it were just, it just was overlooked because we started the early ballot process. We started by saying, okay, we're going to have this mail-in ballot system, and you're allowed to decide if you want to vote by mail, and it was a convenience, and people really liked it. But then some people forget to put it in the mail, and we said, as a courtesy, the legislature said, you know, if you forget to put it in the mail and you want to drop your ballot off at your polling place the day of the election, that's fine. We'll allow you to do that. And so mail-in ballots also became a convenience, like, which I fully support the mail-in ballot system. That's the way I vote. I love it. But if you can't put it back in the mail the way it was intended to work, we also afford you the ability to drop it off at a polling place. But never was it intended to allow people to go and collect hundreds of ballots and turn those in. And that was just a simple oversight that nobody envisioned that this was going to start happening. And it did. It started happening. And nobody's saying that there's rampant fraud. All I've ever said when I first introduced the bill several years ago was, why do we even want a system where there's a potential for fraud?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never accused any group of any wrongdoing. It's just that the thought that you have individuals picking up people's ballots, voted ballots, and you're in possession of them is absolutely unheard of in 49 states.
790-2040, Michelle Reagan, Arizona Secretary of State, with us on the live line. What is this about you calling for an end to state-funded presidential primaries?
Well, you know, the presidential preference election, it's called the PPE, but we, you know, refer to it as the presidential primary. You have to be a registered Republican or a registered Democrat or a Green Party member in this particular election to vote in it. So if you're an independent, and this is a good shout-out, if you don't mind, if you're a registered independent, you cannot vote in this election on March 22nd, our first election of this year. And so now we have one-third of our registered voters are registered as independent or party not defined. And I think that's pretty unfair that we're saying, hey, one-third of the state voters can't participate in this election, but yet as taxpayers, they have to pay for it. And it's a $10 million election. The law says that, according to federal guidelines, the only thing that can be on this ballot is the presidential primary. We have people on the ballot now who have dropped out of the race. And again, the law says, you know, once you're on the ballot, that's the way the ballot's printed, so we can't make any changes to it. And, you know, we're not actually electing or voting for presidential candidates. We're voting for delegates to go to the national conventions, the party national conventions, where then they will choose their party candidates. So it's not even really an election per se, and yet taxpayers are paying for it. And this is something that I believe, if we're going to cut one-third of the voting population out of it, the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for it. The parties should be paying for it.
All right. We have a caller who would like to speak with you. Let's go to Ira. Hello, Ira. You're with the Secretary of State.
Hi. Yeah, I'm an independent voter.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not kid ourselves. This business of you know, I'm not saying that it was planned that way, but you know the Democrats would love to see this continue.
Are you talking about the ballot, so-called harvest ballot, so-called harvesting?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of old folks in rest homes and stuff, and they would love to see this continue.
Okay. Well, all right, Ira, thank you. Go ahead, Michelle.
Great point. And the fact is that many elderly care facilities are, one, either polling places, or two, remember.
Oh, we temporarily lost Michelle, and I'm sure she's going to call us right back. But we were talking about Arizona having this presidential primary that is state-funded, and Michelle Reagan was saying it's roughly $9.6 million that it costs the taxpayers. Michelle, I'm sorry, we're back with you again.
No problem. Okay. In response to Ira's question,
yes,
he asked an excellent question, mm-hmm, and it brought up a good point. And when you're talking about elderly care facilities and where there's large populations of folks, we need to remember that these ballots got to them through the mail. And so it's not a stretch to assume that it's just as easy to return them through the mail. And in fact, that's actually the way the system is designed to work the best for the county recorders and the folks that actually count the ballots, is if they're coming back through the mail. All of those ballots are coded and they're scanned, and we can see where they're at all times through the process if they're returned the proper way. So it's much more actually efficient. They get counted quicker. We have a better tracking system if they're returned the proper way. So, you know, I like to tell people, I understand that thought, you know, well, what about somebody who's older or somebody who, you know, is living in an elderly care facility? But you have to remember, they received the ballot in the mail. Somebody didn't just come and drop it off, you know, to them.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a stretch that they then return it in the mail. How do they pay their bills? At some point, voting, you have to take ownership of your vote. When did it become a group sport?
Quickly on clean elections. Is the clean elections, which has been around, I don't know, for how many years, is this something we're going to live with forever in Arizona?
Well, you know, that's something that the people voted in on the ballot, and that only way that it can be changed is through the people on a general election vote. So, you know, as Secretary of State, I'm bound to uphold the laws of that the people have voted in, and so I'm doing my best to work with the Clean Elections Commission. We have got four big statewide elections coming up this year. Never in the history of the state have we had four statewide elections in 1 year. So I personally have never used the clean elections funding mechanism to run my own personal campaigns. I will say I'm not a fan, but I am duty-bound to work with them. I think they suffer from severe overreach in what they try to do sometimes. I think they have noble intentions, but I think they go a little overboard on some of the stuff they're trying to regulate.
So the four would be, we've got Prop 123, the special election in May. Well, before that, the presidential preference election. Then we the tax, the school issue.
Right. Then we have the proposition, the special election, Proposition 123
right.
in May.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the regular August primaries, which it gets confusing because that is the one where we want independents to vote in and where we encourage independents. Hey, this is the primary that you can vote in and where turnout is so low, we want you to vote. Those are in August. And then the big election in November, which will be the presidential election, you know, where that'll be huge in November.
Michelle Reagan, thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us.
Well, I'm thrilled that you had me. Have me back.
We will. Thank you. Michelle Reagan with us on The Buckmaster Show. 1216, and Michelle is the Secretary of State in Arizona, and we don't have a vice governor here, or a lieutenant governor. The closest we have is the Secretary of State, so very important office in many ways, and we're glad that Michelle Reagan spent a few minutes with us. We've got Shelley Fishman. We're always glad that Mr. Fishman is with us every Tuesday, and for once, maybe it's an anomaly, we've got some good financial news coming up on the markets right after this.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And by now, I hope you have consulted with your certified financial advisor after the crazy start to this year. Shelley Fishman with us each Tuesday at about 12:20. Shelley, how are you today?
I'm well today, Bill. It's Tuesday, and even so,
we're very happy. We're happy the market is up 250 points, and we need some upward momentum. I think to say it's been a bumpy ride would be a big understatement.
Yeah, the opening of this year, the start, first 3 weeks have just been as bad as it ever has been in the opening of a year. Now, you know, is it meaningful that it happened in January? Probably not. This is a correction, and the correction can be traced to some knowable economic factors, and so it's not coming out of the blue, and it appears to be. And the word I like to use is orderly. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not having the kind of horrible crashes that just require the markets to kind of shut down to prevent any further damage in a day. What this is I guess the number now is down about 7% for the year. But when you take a look at where the highs were. We're in correction territory. I think it's about 10, maybe 11, maybe 9%, depending upon which index you use. So this is clearly the market's trying to sort out the economic realities that we all are looking at.
Well, certifiable financial advisors are something.
No, certified.
Oh, certified.
Certifiable is
certifiable.
Is what lots of people might want to call me.
Sorry about that. Ready for the loony bin or something. There are three factors that you should be talking with your certified financial advisor.
Right. So it is normal, understandable, and absolutely, I think, predictable that a client who is invested in the markets, seeing this kind of carnage in the first 3 weeks of the year, is going to call you up and say, let's get together and chat. Now, if you're a good financial advisor, you don't wait for the call. You know, you've kind of reached out to all of your clients and said this would be a really good time to review things. But either way, you're sitting with a client, you've taken a look at reports that show, say, between the beginning of 2015 and the end of 2015, the market was flat, bonds were pretty much flat. So you're looking at not an exciting report for the end of the year, but certainly one that doesn't create a great deal of damage or a great deal of angst on the part of the client. But then they take a look at where they are today on the 24th of January or the 23rd of January, and they see a 6 or 8% slippage.
Yes.
And that creates anxiety. And so, you know, the first discussion you have to have with the client is, has anything in your life changed? Is anything that would characterize your portfolio of investments that would change the allocation, or has something changed that would make us really reassess where we are? And if the answer to that is no, then the real question has to be, and you have this discussion with a client, what do you think the market is going to do? What do you think the economy is going to do for the balance of the year? And the client will normally look at you, and some have opinions, some don't. They depend upon you as the advisor. And so you really have to look at the things that may have changed fundamentally in the world economy that are creating these market movements and all of the volatility. And you have to look at three things and really discuss with the client, you know, what happened in China that is creating such disruption in the commodities markets and a decrease in prices to the point that it's affecting everybody's ability to grow their economy. So that's one thing that is very fundamental. The other thing you have to look at is one of those commodities, specifically the price of oil. And where do you think the price of oil is going to wind up at the end of the year? Do you think that it's going to, you know, get under some control and as a result, you know, float back up into the area of around $40 a barrel, which I think most oil economists will tell you is an acceptable number for now.
Right.
Okay. And the third question is, what's the dollar going to do vis-a-vis other currencies, and how is that going to affect the United States' ability to export goods? Because we don't, you know, we do a lot of exporting, but it's not the main driver of our economy. The main driver of our economy is consumers here in the U.S. But we do make a lot of especially durable goods that we export. Things like tractors and trucks and, you know, the stuff that other economies buy when their economies are doing well so that they can harvest the mm-hmm. commodities and the stuff that gets extracted from the ground and is important to their economies. So those three fundamentals really are the discussion you have to have when you say, well, look, if you believe that these things are going to continue to be disruptive over the next year, then maybe it's not a bad idea to stabilize a portfolio, reduce the volatility in the portfolio, bring in a higher level of fixed income, maybe even riskier fixed income like high-yield bonds in the form of funds, so that at least during the period of time that stock market is kind of going crazy, you're clipping coupons. You know, you're getting 5 or 6% mm-hmm. every, you know, during the year in yield and in dividends and interest into that portfolio, so that if the portfolio fluctuates 4 or 5% and you're bringing in, you know, 4 or 5% in dividends, at the end of the year, you're kind of okay.
Yeah, you're hanging in there.
You're hanging in there.
Yeah.
And you're not – what you want to be very careful about doing is kind of withdrawing from the markets altogether, because that's just locking in losses. Yeah.
Getting out when it's low is not advisable like that.
The other thing you really have to look at, and it's very important, is to see if any of your investments are in specific sectors that have done well in the past but have taken a hit over the past 6 months. And those sectors, you have to have a discussion with the client. What do you think those sectors are going to be doing over the next 6, 8, 10 months? You know, a perfect example is biotech. Mm-hmm. It's been down about 30%. I mean, it's been a huge star over the past 5 or 6 years. But in the past 6 months, it's taken a hit. Certainly the energy sector has taken a hit. We saw financials go, you know, really wild for a while, and now they're even backing off. So you have to look at where the investments are and have a discussion with your client about where you think the opportunities may be.
Right.
And what most of my colleagues are saying, look, when markets are this volatile and you don't have a good fix on what the economy is going to do to sort out these problems, what you do is you flee to quality.
Mm-hmm.
You go to investments that feature holdings that are high quality, not necessarily very volatile in periods such as the ones we have today. And, you know, that tends to be retail. It tends to be the things that continue on despite what might be happening in one or two sectors of the economy.
Shelley, thank you so much for being with us.
Bill, thank you for calling me
certifiable. He is a certified financial advisor, and you can find out more about Shelley on his website, which there's a convenient way to get to it.
Through
BuckmasterShow.com.
There you go.
Back right after this, 12:30.
Have a great afternoon.
Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a conversation with Dr. Andrew Weil. Dr. Weil will be taking your questions from 12:05 to 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Also, we'll meet America's Dog Trainer of the Year. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining me now in studio, Dr. H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent, Tucson Unified School District. He is now the longest tenured superintendent in TUSD in about, 10 years?
Yes, sir.
Something
10 years.
Like that? Good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It is National School Choice Week, and up in Phoenix, the lawmakers, HT, are putting together something that will expand the voucher program and probably take more students away from public education, public school education.
Sure. You know, there's always that potential, but this year, as opposed to trying to fight against the grain, so to speak, over 85% of families in Arizona choose K-12 education, public schools for their families. So we're sending up some of our elementary schools, our A-rated elementary schools, middle school and high school. We're sending up our robotics team from Palo Verde A-rated school. And we're showing that we are and continue to remain a viable choice. So, you know, why not attend it? Why not show up and show off? And so that's the route we're going to take, and we're excited to have the opportunity to do that.
What's this new bill that would phase out the desegregation cash for TUSD?
Sure. You know, so I had an opportunity to visit with Senator Lesko some and kind of
That's Debbie Lesko. She is a Republican from the Phoenix area, the community of Peoria.
Sure. And so I had a chance to talk to her and kind of hear what was going on and what her thoughts were. And so the current bill, the way it's presented, basically once a district reaches unitary status, the year after there would be a arbitrary 10-year phase down, which I can understand the need for a phase down once you hit unitary status to a point. But with our particular situation, the district, Tucson Unified, was once declared unitary, but then because it didn't meet certain obligations, it was declared to go back under court supervision. And so that's where we find ourselves. So the next time we hit unitary status, we have an opportunity in about a year and a half to apply for unitary status. And should the district judge grant it, and we've worked hard to build our record, should the district judge grant it, and we're in our post-unitary status period, if the money begins to draw down, but yet there are, in a post-unitary plan, which the court would have to approve, items that need to be continued, I would just ask that the legislature consider, instead of an arbitrary drawdown, perhaps a tightly aligned budget to that post-unitary plan for the 10-year span, not forever. I think that was a misunderstanding, just for that same 10-year period.
Dr. Stegeman of the TUSD board had an editorial in the paper, and he was on our show a couple of weeks ago saying that the whole TUSD desegregation strategy is counterproductive. What do you say to Dr. Stegeman about that?
Well, you know, he's never brought this up to me personally, and he and I meet, and we visit
this
over
never,
lunch.
This wasn't addressed when you two meet.
No, he hasn't brought this topic up and had a in-depth, detailed conversation with me on it, and you know, a lot of times I hear what he's saying when I read his constituent letters and when I read his editorials. But in terms of this item, he hasn't sat down and had a conversation about strategy and how we move outside of, you know, court supervision. Basically, I've presented to him, here's the legal counsel we're looking at. Here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? And he asked questions and I provide the answers. But in terms of, hey, HT, here's my strategy, or here's some ideas, or here's some tweaks or adjustments, he's never had that conversation with me, and I hope he does. I hope he will soon.
So you actually read about this in the op-ed that he did. I mean, you hear about it that way, that he's saying it's counterproductive, not meeting you to talk about it face-to-face.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, sir. No, that makes it difficult to do my job, because I meet with the board so that I can get their perspective, and it can drive the day-in and day-out work. That's my responsibility. You know, the board does make policy. That's their role. That's their legal role. But as I visit with board members and they say, you know, I've been in this community, here's an idea, here's a thought, I take that into consideration heavily, and But if that information isn't put out, then it's really hard to know what their thoughts are until you read an op-ed in the paper or you read a constituent letter. And then at that point, you're like, okay, well, it would have been great to know that ahead of time. But
now, are you on Dr. Stegeman's constituent letter? Do you see that regularly? Or
A long time ago, he put me on his listserv. I hope he doesn't take me off now. But a long time ago, he put me on his listserv. So I get it when everybody else gets it. I don't get an advance peek of it or anything like that.
790-2040 for H.T. Sanchez. If you have a question, comment, or a suggestion about TUSD, now is your opportunity. One of our Facebook friends wants me to ask you, and I will do so, why Dr. Sanchez got rid of the last desegregation attorney, and how can he justify spending $5 million with this new law firm that has no history with school desegregation cases?
Sure. So let me start with the first part, the $5 million part. When we put out a request for proposal, we put out a number basically saying, all right, so here's the ceiling for what we're asking for. I don't anticipate or expect to expend $5 million on external legal counsel in any one year. We've been right around $550,000 to $650,000 the 3 years I've been here. And prior to that, you could see as the unitary status plan was put into place, a ramp up of costs on legal costs. But nonetheless, I wanted to be clear on that piece that it's not a guaranteed $1 million will be expended. That's kind of the ceiling, and we want to keep it in the ballpark of where we are now. I'd love to see it all go away when we hit unitary status, but that's the reality, and so that's that piece. On the other piece, I think that our previous legal counsel did a good job. I like to liken this to a relay. You know, you run the first leg, and so for about, I guess it was about 38 years or so, DeConcini ran the first leg of the race, and then we came to a point where we needed to hand off the baton. And we had the opportunity to work with one of the original lawyers that, when this case was put into TUSD in the 70s, this attorney was one of the attorneys that worked with the district. So I was coming in new from outside. I needed a bit of history. So did our new legal counsel. We both came in about the same time, our internal legal counsel. So the law
firm, there's nothing funny going on here.
No. What, yeah. The second law firm was really, really a good one. But I'll end by saying this piece. With the law firm that we've hired now, one of the attorneys, Paul Charlton, is the former U.S. attorney for Arizona. And if you're going to federal court to apply for unitary status, it would make sense that you get somebody who knows the federal court.
H.T. Sanchez with us. If you have a question or comment, you can Facebook us, Bill Buckmaster, or you can give us a call at 790-2040. What about this now, the audit committee and members of the committee having family ties? What's the real story with this thing?
Sure. You know,
give us the bottom line.
You know, my bottom line with this and taking a look at it from the outside is the board can incorporate and employ whoever it would like on these committees, because these committees, the audit committee, the benefit trust board, they're advisory to the board. Ultimately, they have no authority, because all they can do is recommend to the board, here's what we recommend, here are our thoughts. And then the board ultimately has to vote, and majority rules. That's it. So with the audit committee, the big dust up about a couple of the members' spouses working for the district,
Nepotism, yeah.
Right. So when you take a look at that, you're like, all right, so what authority does the audit committee have? It doesn't have any authority. And they don't do the external audit. They don't do the performance audit. That's done by the auditor general. They don't approve the budget. That's done by the board. They don't review the budget. That's done by the board. And so, you know, you want to remove distractions. I think the audit committee's recommendations at tonight's board meeting are very good, that basically no family ties, and when it comes to decision making, I mean, so basically, you know, if your spouse is a assistant principal or higher on the hierarchy, so to speak, then you can't be an audit committee member. And I think that'll be fine. And then removing the board member as a voting member of the audit committee, I think that's fine. I think the board's also going to talk about doing the same with the benefit trust board, that, you know, there's a board member on that committee that also votes. And it makes sense that if you're going to do ad hoc board members to the audit committee and the benefit trust board, that's fine. So they'll have that discussion tonight, but I think the recommendations are very good. And, you know, I'll give you a number. 4 years ago, there were over 25 audit findings against the district by our external audit. This year, there were 7. And so things are better. We're doing a better job, and our finance department continues to do good work.
What, just an overview on those 7, what do they generally consist of?
Some of it comes down
to bookkeeping stuff.
Yeah, just a little bookkeeping stuff. For example, on student attendance accounting, a date was wrong. So, you know, the paper document said the 4th, and then the online thing said the 5th, and they just need a match up. So, clerical type things.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:45. Before we take the break, I want to tell you this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by a great place in the Southwest United States. Have you been over to Silver City? It is really beautiful over there. That corner of Southwest New Mexico makes a wonderful getaway from Tucson. It's 3 hours, and you're in a really nice environment. It's about a mile high, the elevation in Silver City. And there are really some great places, fun places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn or Pinos Altos Cabins. And you can go hiking. You can go up to the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. So there is no shortage of great places to stay. Great places to eat, by the way, in historic Silver City. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
All right, 10 minutes now to 1 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. A quick promo for tomorrow, because this gentleman, Dr. Andrew Weil, is probably one of the most recognizable faces in the United States and gives out great health advice. He'll be with us tomorrow, and he will be taking questions so that folks can call in with their health questions. 12:04 tomorrow for Dr. Andrew Weil. But right now we're talking education with Dr. H.T. Sanchez. And Dr. Sanchez is now the longest serving tenured superintendent. There really has been all sorts of instability over at TUSD for years. We had superintendents that were here for a little while and then another one for a little while. And you've brought some stability to this district.
Well, we've embraced a long-range five-year strategic plan vision that basically is about, let's get the work done, let's put the work in front of us and stop reacting to what's going on, and let's drive a direction and let's set a vision and pursue that focus. And we've been very good at that. And if you stay focused on those kinds of things, all the distractions and the negativity and the tough and the, you know, tough work and the late hours that come with the job, they all kind of roll off you if you stay focused on a purpose.
790-2040 for questions, comments, or suggestions about the second largest school district in the state, the largest here in Southern Arizona, TUSD. TUSD has opened something called a Family Resource Center. It's the second one now?
Yes, sir. The first one is at the former Wakefield Middle School site, and that's the first one. And the second one is right across town off of 22nd, and it's at Palo Verde High School. And what we have at our Family Resource Community Center, we have a clothing bank. We have computers set up for parents to learn, you know, some basic technology skills, resume writing skills. We have people there that also provide tutoring services to students, that provide some social support and social services to students. So it's a one-shop stop of sorts for parents who have questions about, you know, social behavioral concerns, about academic concerns, or who may need a little help and support with tutoring, and or who need some support with clothing. So it's a great way for us to bring community into the school and then to help our parents, families, and students succeed.
Is there a fee for this?
No, it's free of charge. And so we just want to reach out and serve our families and communities.
You know, teachers now, and we hear so much it's about pay, and of course people are going to be voting to put more money into our education system in May. That's going to be Prop 121. There was an interesting speaker who was out here. I'm not sure if you were at that event at the Tucson Convention Center. Were you down there?
I didn't get to go. I ended up staying home with the flu, so I missed it.
Well, there's certainly a lot of that going around, the flu. But anyway, this gentleman from the University of Pennsylvania, the graduate school there, Graduate School of Education, Richard Ingersoll, says it's not so much about pay when it comes to keeping teachers. It's about the atmosphere of the classroom in many, many respects.
No, I agree 100%. And so, you know, two big things that we're working on right now to that end. And of course, we're working on pay as well. And I appreciate working with the union on that. And we've done some salary increases, and we have our eye on how we continue that into the future. But, you know, our district curriculum isn't a boxed curriculum that we just bought online or bought from another district. That
a package deal.
It's not a package deal that we're trying to force fit into our classrooms. It's something that's designed by our teachers, and there's empowerment there. And I meet with one teacher from each campus every month, and they give us a brutal reality check on what they like and what they don't. You got to give them voice. And that's a big piece of it is you have to listen. And then when they say, here's what you need to do, you need to do it. And we're working to be much more responsive to that.
What do you think about Proposition 123?
You know, it's really a jagged pill to swallow for a lot of folks. And I think it's because it's money that is already owed to schools. So, you know, people have asked, well, what do you think about it? And besides saying I try not to, it's necessary. It's necessary so that true school finance reform can take place. Because if this thing can't be settled and we find ourselves back in court, nobody's really ready at the legislature to take on a comprehensive conversation on school finance reform until the money the voters said should go to kids goes to kids. And the unfortunate thing is they have to vote on it twice. They already voted for it once and approved 301. Now they got to vote on it again and approve 123 because it deals with the land trust. So I think it's a first
step. So you're saying it's a first step toward the bigger conversation of what are we going to do about the future of our schools?
Exactly. I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
How are the facilities at TUSD? I think you're asking for input. Are you not on the condition of your facilities?
Right. You know, in 2008, Tucson Unified School District used to get right around $24 million a year to fix buildings, fix broken windows, and replace, you know, things that broke. I mean, things just break down, roofs and whatnot. Last year, we got about $3.5 million. And so our buildings have only gotten older. And the amount of money we get now doesn't cover the cost. And so take that, put it to the side, but then also take this other conversation. Schools today are charged with preparing students for jobs that don't exist yet. And can you do that in school buildings that were built to prepare students for, you know, the factory line, you know, straight rows? Think of, you know, the Model A, the Model T, and assembly lines. Schools were built to prepare kids for that. For that reality. So we have to have a conversation about fixing the stuff that needs to be fixed, broken air conditioners, broken windows, doors that hang, and all of that. But you also have to have a conversation about reconfiguring the buildings, looking at them as a shell, and thinking of them as a teaching resource to prepare kids for jobs that don't exist yet. And so a long-range facility plan basically is asking the community, all right, what's your vision? And what are your thoughts for the types of jobs that Tucson wants to attract and draw? And then that's build our facilities to ensure that our kids graduate and are the kind of employees those businesses want to move into town to hire.
So it's really right now a Band-Aid trying to keep the facilities at least as a safe environment, right?
You know,
that's the maintenance is huge, I'm
sure.
Yeah,
the maintenance is big. We have about, well, if you take a look at from 2008 to now, the price tag to fix everything that's broken is right around $400 million.
Mm.
And that would just get us to square. I mean, fix every broken window, every broken air conditioner, every boiler that's not working, right around $400 million. And so we're never going to go out and say, hey, let's do a $400 million bond. We're not crazy. But there are needs that are more pressing than others, stuff that's broken that you can't even get replacement
parts
for.
Could you see a bond coming up real soon?
You know, that's part of the conversation. If the community says, you know what, we're willing to vote for something to fix all of these things and create some advanced learning spaces to get kids ready for jobs that don't exist. I think we're open to presenting that to the board for consideration to call for one. And if you think about it, it's in the five-year strategic plan, and this is a time we're supposed to be doing that work.
Dr. H.T. Sanchez, thank you very much for visiting with us. Hope you have a good meeting tonight. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. This afternoon on the 4 Tucson show with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They'll be here 4 to 5 this afternoon. Then we do 4 hours of local talk in the morning. Actually, we do 6 hours a day now, Monday through Friday, of local talk, more than any other news talk station in town. So we got Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, then the Daily Double. Christy Simone has a different guest every day from 8 to 9. Sean McCluskey is here from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. And again, we have Dr. Andrew Weil tomorrow. So call in your questions, 790-2040. Till then, I'm Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.